ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం సెకండ్ కాంటో చాప్టర్ 4, ద ప్రాసెస్ ఆఫ్ క్రియేషన్, టెక్స్ట్ 25. Esa Devatma Bhūdhāsan Narataya Vapritsate Veda Garbo Vyasasakshad Jiraha Hari Atmana. Esa, on this matter. Eva, exactly. Atma Bhū, the firstborn. Brahmaji. Rajan, my dear king. Naradaya, unto Narada Muni. Vipritsate, having inquired about it from. Vedagarbha, one who is impregnated with Vedic knowledge from birth. Abhyata, apprised. Sakshat, directly. Yadaha, what he spoke. Hari, the Lord. Atmana, unto his own. Brahma, translation. My dear king, Brahma, the firstborn, on being questioned by Narada, exactly apprised him on this subject, as it was directly spoken by the Lord to his own son, who was impregnated with Vedic knowledge from his very birth. As soon as Brahma was born of the abdominal lotus petals of Vishnu, he was impregnated with Vedic knowledge, and therefore he is known as Vedagarbha, or a Vedantist from the embryo. Without Vedic knowledge, or perfect infallible knowledge, no one can create anything. All scientific knowledge and perfect knowledge are Vedic. One can get all types of information from the Vedas, and as such, Brahma was impregnated with all perfect knowledge so that it was possible for him to create. Thus, Brahma knew the perfect description of creation as it was exactly apprised to him by the Supreme Lord Hari. Brahma, on being questioned by Narada, told Narada exactly what he had heard directly from the Lord. Narada again told exactly the same thing to Vyasa. And Vyasa also told Shukadeva Goswami exactly what he had heard from Narada. And Shukadeva was going to repeat the same statements as he heard them from Vyasa. That is the way of Vedic understanding. The language of the Vedas can be revealed only by the above-mentioned succession and not otherwise. There's no use in theories. Knowledge must be factual. There are many things that are complicated, and one cannot understand them unless they are explained by one who knows. The Vedic knowledge is also very difficult to know and must be learned by the above-mentioned system. Otherwise, it is not at all understood. Shukadeva Goswami therefore prayed for the mercy of the Lord so that he might be able to repeat the very same message that was spoken directly by the Lord to Brahma, or what was directly spoken by Brahma to Narada. Therefore, the statements of creation explained by Shukadeva Goswami are not at all, as the mundaneist suggests, theoretical, but are perfectly correct. One who hears these messages and tries to assimilate them gets perfect information of the material creation. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta Purport of the second canto, fourth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Process of Creation. Om Jnana Chimadandasya Jnananjana Salaka Chakshin Vinitani Satsvai Sri. Our system here of Vedic knowledge is intended to make you smart. What we are trying to do here at our little place here, just a little place. I think it's very big, but just a little place. We're just making a little humble effort, trying to do a little humble service to produce persons who will agree to start using their brains. It's very difficult. I was explaining yesterday the main reason why brains don't work. I talk about that every day. But yes, in order for the brain to turn over, the motor to start to work, it has to get free from the gross impurities of life. And then, by submissive performance of devotional service, the finer intelligence develops. So our motto here has always been, be all that you can be. Now, what does that mean? It means actually, originally, you are qualitatively as good as Krishna. That's as good as you can be. But we've forgotten all that. Now, according to your spiritual desire, you will achieve. You'll try for certain levels of Krishna consciousness. Water will seek its own level. We're always trying to urge the water upwards, but it's a fact. Ultimately, everyone will decide how deep into Krishna consciousness they want to go. So we're trying to reduce critical thinking persons, not according to the Western standard, but according to the Vedic standard. That means they take their knowledge from the descending process. They take that knowledge as handed down from the Lord to Brahma to Narada, and so on, down to the books we have today. And you try to assimilate this knowledge. We always stress that everyone should be absorbed in reading Prabhupada's books. And I think many of you in the beginning here, a few years ago, you were all doing that. That is the reason for your any kind of success now. Because you dedicated yourselves to absorbing Prabhupada's books, and then things expanded from that. Not only reading, but also you were all distributing. Therefore, the success came because the yajna is being performed. The Vedic sacrifice was being performed. So now that you're a tiny bit successful, don't think that that's, you know, the limit. No. Don't give up what made things prosper a little bit. Krishna is unlimited. We're just doing a tiny bit of service and we get, oh, look what's happening. It's the small time stuff. Lord Caitanya's desire is that the whole world becomes saturated with Krishna consciousness. So, I mean, we're just doing little tiny, small time things here. Sometimes we're causing a bit of agitation. Small time operation, little mom and papa operation here. So, let us not forget the principles of success. The principles of success have been always stressing, chanting Hare Krishna, always stressing, distributing and reading Prabhupada's books. Based on that, intelligence started to become purified and devotees became a little bit gifted by Krishna, a little bit. So we shouldn't forget that now that, you know, a little something seems to be going on. Okay. No, you have to remain tight to your fundamentals. Those of you who have played sports know the coach is always telling you, remember the fundamentals. Because every sport has its, you know, basic things you have to execute, otherwise it doesn't go on. I don't know what it is, rugby. That's in American football. That's what I play. They're always stressing, you know. Remember, the tackling is the basis. During the middle of the game, I remember once when I was in high school, and we weren't doing well. So when it came time for the intermission, the coach, to punish us, he made us do tackling practice, right? And the halftime of the game, instead of resting, you know, we had to do tackling practice, tackling drills, you know. Come on, the fundamentals! So, we have to remember the fundamentals of what's going on here. We're taking what Prabhupada has told us to do, we're trying to execute. Somehow or other. So what's going on? There's no magic other than that. We try to get devotees to take their chanting very seriously. We try to get them to understand yajna, Vedic sacrifice, means distributing Prabhupada's books, however you do it. And we try to get them to use their intelligence to assimilate Prabhupada's books, assimilate this Vedic knowledge. That's what's going on. Trying to scratch your head and figure out what's happening. And of course, for all that, you need some guidance. And I must admit, I do have a secret goal which you may not have figured out yet. And it's not going to be for. Not everyone will achieve success immediately, and there'll be there'll be some disappointments, because the mature world is a battlefield. But I do desire that some of you become smarter than sex-like. That's going to take some brains. If you can figure out that riddle, you're basically halfway liberated. So there'll be different approaches to this riddle. I didn't say my secret goal is that everybody become a renunciate. I mean, no, that's not the Vedic system. Varnashram Dharma means all the ashrams are in relation, as we discussed yesterday, to how you're handling a certain disease. So, it's all based on knowledge. You have to be able to figure out the riddle and free yourself. Like some of you have taken mathematics. Yes. You add some lousy mathematics system sound pretty bad. Too much numbers on a page, just close the book. But anyway, you have to approach material existence, particularly the bonds to sex desire, by just making a calculation. Okay, there's this, you add that, you add that, you add that, and what do you get? You have to just keep doing that to yourself for decades, and then finally the point is assimilated. What do I get? It's not worth it. So you basically have to mentally perform this calculation every day, and then finally the transcendental knowledge just bursts in you and the lights go on. It's true. I don't get anything but suffering out of this. That's how you become free. How do you train up your brain that way? You have to study Prabhupada's books, because it gives you all the hints in this purport about how the scam is going on. It's a scam. It's a scam by material nature. So we're trying to at least get some of you to be more intelligent than the scam. And ultimately, after some time, we hope that some of you will become qualified to even teach others how to break up the scam. Bust the scam. It takes a lot of hard work, though. And yet, I know I'm setting myself up for some disappointments. That's the way it works. But still, the work of the succession has to go on. Half of Vedic culture means becoming free from sex desire, either immediately or gradually, gradually extinguish it according to regular principles. Some or other treat the disease. So that's the hidden agenda. And no, it doesn't mean everyone's supposed to be renunciate. No. In fact, most will marry, as I said yesterday. But our desire is that the marriages be real marriages. That the home does not become an excuse for prostitution, to use the father's times like this. That's going to take people with brains, devotees with brains. And Prabhupada gives you all knowledge in his books. We were discussing yesterday how, I was talking to Josh, how Prabhupada said that one devotee from my godfather's in the top, Sanjay, told him that, let's say that all the temples in the world closed down and everything is finished. Let's just say that happens, he said. Still, because my books are out there, someone will read them and start everything again. That was his confidence. Now, we're just pointing out, this is the conviction that Prabhupada had about his books, that the whole Hare Krishna movement could restart just by one person getting a book somewhere and reading it. Because everything is there. So you want to know how to outsmart material nature. Some of you are university students, you've been some time in university. So you should deal with material existence in the same way. Add it up. And do the calculation every day. You do your math every day. Okay. For example, in reference to that prime material desire. Okay. You do this, and then this happens, and that happens, and that happens, and then what do you get? You have to do it every day. Okay. You do this, you do that. He does this, she does that. She does this, he does that. This, and this, this. Every day. And finally, after decades of this, I'm telling you what happens. It's just like, you've achieved enlightenment. Whoa.
that.
It's really true. Forget it. That's why Prabhupada would say sometimes that actually be Vaishnava means to be free from sex desire. That's actually the reason. Then you have attained the Vaishnava platform. Then you can understand why. Who is it who said, when I think of such things, I speak? Right. I mean, you know, in the beginning when we're young devotees, we quote the verse dutifully and properly. But whenever I think of it, I speak. But I'm telling you, the time will come. If you just keep making this calculation, you know, this mathematical calculation, this, that, he does this, she does that, and what's the point of all this? Then you've achieved the perfection of the Vedic system. Then you're halfway liberated, basically. The other part is simply keep yourself engaged in devotional service of the Lord. So that's the secret agenda. And I know it's going to be a rocky road. But what can I do? That's the actual work of the Sutta Succession, to empower people with knowledge. That's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to empower individuals with knowledge so you can become free and then free others. That's what makes for the contagious spirit. And the empowerment is based on Prabhupada's books. So please don't abandon what has brought about a little tiny bit of success, a little tiny bit, a little glimmer. Purity is the force, and Prabhupada's books are the basis. I want every one of you, just like you were doing some years ago. I'm not saying you don't do it now, but I'm just pointing out. Every one of you should be abating your intelligence daily in Prabhupada's books. I think in the beginning, some of you were reading 2 hours a day, weren't you? Yes. Don't give up that now. You've got to do that the rest of your life. Yeah, I don't read 2 hours a day. But what I do is I let it go, and then one day I just read all day. That's my schedule. I know I'll be on a 12-hour flight, so, and I always have CDs with me. Probably just I'm always listening to them when I travel in the car or something like that. So I have it worked out a different way, but most persons can't do it like that. If you don't do things daily, you'll let it slide completely. So, and remember so much talking we did about chanting, how attentive chanting is so necessary? These are the things that built, character. And then the desire to give Krishna to others. That's what's going on. That's all. Nothing occult. Just empowering individuals to deal with their life. Giving them the tools to escape contamination. That is my love. To give tools that you can escape contamination. And there are ups and downs and disappointments and bumps in the road, but hey, that's my austerity. When I think what Srila Prabhupada went through. But he wanted to hand that austerity over to his children. And one day we hope to hand the austerity over to our children. So someone has to become smarter than sex life. Just that's a cool phrase to keep in mind. Smarter than sex means you're halfway there. And how do you do it? Do mathematics. Perform the calculation. You can do it in your mind. You can just see, look at it squarely. What's going on? There's the man. There's the see this and then this and then that. And it's looking better. And then look at the egg. You have to do like that. I'm telling you the secret. You have to, by reading Prabhupada's books, he gives you so many hints. I know even some of you had memorized these hints. I won't tell you, but I know someone here who had all those hints down. You've got to do that every day. And then it's just, the knowledge is, it's like, sometimes scientists say if everything came to them in a flash, do it like that. Who? There's some stuff. There's another one too, and of course Mozart, he composed like that. So that's actually what will happen. One day the super soul will say, you proved to me that you're really serious about solving the equation. Okay, here it is. Let that knowledge take over your heart. Then you're free. So we're trying to empower you all with the tools to free yourself. We're not trying to leave any other hang-ups on you. We just want you to hear the tools, you free yourself. We're constantly exhorting yourself. We're constantly exhorting you, free yourself, liberate yourself, empower yourself with this knowledge, and then please empower others. Give others a chance. What's all going on? Krishna is doing it to Brahma, Brahma is doing it to Narada, so on. And in our very tiny way, we're trying to pass on this knowledge, this system. So you please remember the fundamentals. The desire to read and just to read Prabhupada's books, that means you are desiring to form Vedic Yajna. We'll discuss that now. I'll read you one lecture I gave during breakfast at World Enlightenment Day in Los Angeles, in the temple. Just like you're sitting here, they wanted to take breakfast early to get out, so we had a little discussion instead of class when I was taking breakfast. Now, there, you know, devotees in the temple room means like 250 devotees. Quite a powerful assembly. 250 people taking prasad and all ready to go out for distribution. So who has to go? Those who have to go early, I'll give you a copy. You have one over here. Okay. Who left? Anyone else? What time do you have to go? Oh, you might hear the whole. Thank you all for gathering here for this Sankirtan breakfast on this very special day. Sometimes you may wonder, what is this all about? Why are we going through so much endeavor for all this? You see Sura Prabhu, he's the Sankirtan leader, and Swabhas Prabhu, he's the temple president, running around, making so many arrangements. You may ask, what is all this commotion for? We could say, well, somebody has to distribute books. You could answer, but why should we make such a big thing about it? Why should everybody participate? Sometimes I find that devotees actually forget what this book distribution is all about. You see, in every yuga, there is some system of yajna, performance of sacrifice for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. That yajna is the scientific process for connecting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And yajnas are performed regardless of the resources required. Now, as you all know, in the age of Kali, we don't have an unlimited quantity of valuable items to offer to the Supreme Lord. So therefore, we need to have some other kind of yajna. Upon realize that this is the missing thing in civilization today. Some way to perform mass yajna. In other words, the Vedic sacrifices aren't just for a few people. Everyone is supposed to be involved. In previous yugas, you had kings like Ramachandra and Vrija Maharaj, and through their expert organization, they made it so that every kind of person in the kingdom could participate in the yajna. The Kshatriyas organized the sacrifices. The Brahmanas performed them. The Vaishyas provided all the materials, and the Sudras provided the labor. Now, where in the present society do you have an organized arrangement for yajna so that everyone can take part in it? that was Srila Prabhupada's vision for the Sankirtan Yajna of book distribution. A system, an organized effort for performing a yajna that everyone can participate in. Therefore, as you know, you have the book production, which is the big Brihat Madanga, and now everyone has a chance to participate in the yajna or kirtan caused by the Brihat Madanga. Everyone has a chance to become involved in hearing Srila Prabhupada's books, in distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, in encouraging others to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, and in reading them. In this way, we can produce a sanctified atmosphere throughout the whole world. Maybe we forgot that to some degree. Maybe we think, it can't be so simple. But yajna is very simple in that it is an organized method for pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now you might say, what's the big deal about my efforts or your effort? We're not top airport distributors. By the way, actually, in some way you could say that the New Zealanders were ruling the Los Angeles airport. Pakistan Swami was number one distributor in America in November, and I don't know about December for the whole country, but he won the marathon in Los Angeles for Christmas marathon. And then right behind was Luke. So they were all talking in Los Angeles. Down under, taking over. So those are the top guys. I distributed 50 big and 20 mile big books a day. So you might say, well, we're not like those guys. What does it really mean that we are participating in yajna? Krishna simply wants that we give some effort. And that we make a sacrifice. That is what makes Krishna consciousness very tasty. The sacrifice. Perhaps you've forgotten that. When you sacrifice something for the Supreme Lord, you get to taste the nectar of Krishna consciousness. So now, by the mercy of good organization here in Los Angeles, everyone has a chance to partake of yajna, to participate in the topmost Vedic sacrifice for pleasing the Supreme Lord. We may forget that all these arrangements that you see are not ordinary. You will see devotees running around, organizing things, organizing the prasad, organizing the books, organizing the collection and the scores, as well as the lakshmi. You may wonder, what's all the fuss about? The fuss is about pleasing the senses of the Supreme Lord. Just because the temple takes up a whole neighborhood in the city, they just brought a big tractor trailer truck up and unloaded pallets of books. They're just on the sidewalk, and all these hordes of devotees were around, taking huge boxes of books, mothers and with their children. The children were. It was quite a sight to see. And the cars are in the street, trying to get by the tractor trailer truck, You can see the residents of the neighborhood were not devotees, were trying to figure out what's going on, all these people, all these boxes doing on the sidewalk. Or you don't say sidewalk, you say pavement, right? So quite a scene. The fuss is about pleasing the senses of the Supreme Lord. It is not a material thing. It is something that every living entity, jivatma, part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, is supposed to participate in. Sometimes devotees overseas tell me, we know the secret of success for New Dwarka. We know why they're successful. It's because they know how to make money there. They've got that restaurant. They've got that gift shop. Bring in the bucks. That's the main thing. That book distribution they do there is just like a hobby. It's just a little frill added on top, a little icing on the cake. But the main thing is bucks are the basis. In some places, they actually say like that, bucks are the basis. Actually, though, if you talk to the New York management, you will find that their view is that book distribution is the central focus. It is the yajna. And because of the book distribution, everything else works. Here's a totally opposite point of view. One view is, well, you gotta make money, and if you can distribute books, you do it as a side activity, because it's only gonna bring in some pennies. This is a material calculation. The actual understanding of yajna is that yajna must be performed, yajna by Vishnu, and everything else works from that. So it would be very interesting for you all to discuss with the management here how they see this, because otherwise you may miss the extraordinary potency of what's going on. The extraordinary potency of what is going on is that everyone is involved in Vedic sacrifice as Srila Prabhupada desired. When Srila Prabhupada came to Los Angeles, he gave very specific instructions about how Krishna was to be satisfied. So if there's going to be any success, then we have to see if those instructions are being followed. Srila Prabhupada's desire was that everyone would become absorbed in reading and distributing his books. So if the management gives a chance to everyone to do that, then you know you have good management. So it is not that book distribution is some bygone activity of a bygone era. It is not that it is just something that we go through the motions of, because Srila Prabhupada said, distribute books. No, it is actually the topmost method for pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Both Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada wanted yajna, Vedic sacrifice, to be performed in an organized way for the benefit of the whole world. Yes, you can practice Krishna consciousness just for yourself. You can simply become concerned with, what about my own nectar? What about my own rasa? But that is not what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had in mind. It is not what Srila Prabhupada had in mind. Their plan for you is that you get Krishna by giving Krishna to others in as much of an organized way as possible. That is what Srila Prabhupada desired. So sometimes we may look at all this organized effort and think, the real nectar will be when I'll just be reading about Radha and Krishna on my own. That is nectar, but you won't taste it unless you satisfy the acharyas. In order to satisfy the acharyas, you will have to fulfill their wishes. So this Sankirtan yajna, this book distribution, this organized effort is a humble attempt to satisfy the acharyas. So don't become too familiar with it, thinking, another year, another marathon, here we go again. Everyone is scurrying about making all these arrangements. I've seen it all before. Have you really seen it all before? Do you really see what is happening with spiritual vision? That should be our prayer for this marathon. How can I actually see what Krishna is doing? What Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing? You'll get credit and value by doing the marathon, even mechanically. There's no doubt about that. Even if you do book distribution mechanically, you'll get some credit. But if you really want to taste the depth of the marathon nectar, you must beg to the Supreme Lord, please give me a vision of what is really going on from your point of view. That is what makes Sankirtan exciting. Now, I know that some of you are just starting this service. For others, it is not your full-time service, but you're making some special sacrifice to please Krishna's senses. Even though you may be a weekend warrior or a once-a-year warrior, still you can beg Krishna, can you kindly please give this fallen servant some insight into what this yajna is all about? Then you will see the excitement start to build. Krishna wants you to ask him of these things. When someone cares for you, they are very happy when you ask them, please let me see how you're doing things. So if you would pray to Krishna, please let me see how you are doing things through this Sankirtan yajna, Krishna is very happy and lets you have a vision of what is going on. In this way, you can perform your Sankirtan service in a way that you will be fully enlivened. That opportunity is always there. But sometimes we do not enter into the Sankirtan yajna fully in terms of begging Lord Chaitanya, let me have a glimpse of what's going on. You may just take it in a mechanical way. I'll give this one a book, that one a book. Still, you'll get credit. We don't criticize devotees who just go out and hand people books without any deeper thinking about it. They will get credit. They will be satisfying Krishna. But there are different degrees, and you do not have to be a full-time devotee to taste the deeper realizations of Sankirtan. You simply have to beg Krishna. And the Lord is very eager to show you what is going on. Why? Because the more people who see what's going on in the Sankirtan Yajna, the more the flood of love of Godhead increases. And it is such a taste that you won't forget for your whole life. So it is in Krishna's interest to give you a vision of what's going on, but you have to ask for it. If you don't ask, you may not get. Of course, Lord Chaitanya can give, even if you do not ask. But it is much quicker if you ask. You beg Krishna, let me get an insight into how Lord Chaitanya is doing things. What is the real secret of this book distribution? Why does Srila Prabhupada so much insist upon it? Don't say, haven't people gotten enough books already? We've distributed millions of books in America. And so what? This is a material analysis. I don't think you'll hear it coming from any of our acharyas in our line. No. We are distributing books because we are pleasing Krishna's senses. That's it. We can do that better and better, wider and wider. But still the basic fact is there. We are distributing books to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like when someone would ask Srila Prabhupada, what is the goal of chanting Hare Krishna? Who knows what he would say something? Yes. The goal of chanting Hare Krishna is to chant more Hare Krishna. The means is the same as the end. Similarly, why do we distribute books? We distribute books so that we can distribute more books. It is our prayer that the people get one book and that then they'll want another book, and another book, and another book. And based on that book distribution, we can do so many things once the core is there. So that is the secret of success at New Dwarka. The basic core is there, and then everything else can be built around that core. So it is not just a frill, an option. Yeah, they do book distribution in Los Angeles. Yeah, they are still into that thing. They haven't gone on to more fancy forms of preaching. The core has to be there, and then you'll see how Krishna unfolds everything else. So we have to give credit where credit's due. Where there is organized yajna, as the acharyas desire, there is Krishna. And we are so fortunate that we can be part of this organized yajna, and in this way make spiritual advancement. A little sacrifice is required, that's all. A little sacrifice be part of the great sacrifice. So you all get a chance to do your part of the yajna. In this way you are pleasing Krishna. Otherwise, why would you go through all this trouble? You are trying to please Krishna's senses, so you should think about that during the day. You are doing this sacrifice to directly give pleasure to the Supreme Lord, as his dear devotee Srila Prabhupada instructed. That's what it means to be a devotee. Now, if you try to think in this way as you're going out with your Sankirtan service, surely Krishna will reciprocate with you. But I still want to point out that even if you do this service only mechanically, there is benefit. I know that sometimes devotees say, they just mechanically distribute the books. They just give the books out. We can't do that anymore. But the fact is that even if you do just that, just mechanically, there is still great benefit. Now, what do you think of that? There is still great benefit. But if you want to go deeper, you can. But Lord Chaitanya is so merciful that even if you do it mechanically, there is benefit. Now, how great is that? Not that, they are doing it mechanically, therefore we should stop. No, if you are doing it mechanically, very good. But we hope that you'll go deeper and deeper. But not that. You are doing it mechanically. Stop the service. If that is all you are able to do, doing it mechanically, that's all right. Just like, for example, if you just chant your rounds mechanically, do we tell you to stop? Do we say, you're chanting mechanically, stop your rounds? Do we say that? No. We say, go on chanting, and gradually by the attempt to chant, you'll become more and more devotional. It is the same thing with book distribution. If you are doing it mechanically, it is very good that you're trying to do something. Now go on, and gradually, by hearing and doing the service, you'll get into deeper levels of book distribution. So we glorify all levels of the service, even the mechanical level. But at the same time, of course, we're always urging the devotees, go deeper, go deeper. Unless you hear, you won't get that inspiration to go deeper. The serious distributors of Lord Caitanya's mercy are always eager to hear because they want insights into how to go deeper and deeper into the Sankirtan ocean. But still, as I said, if someone wants to do this service mechanically, casually, very good. Any way you come in contact with Krishna, it is for your benefit, even mechanically or casually. Still, it is true that the best thing is to try to get some realization. But the point is that the service of book distribution is so great that even when touched mechanically, there's still great benefit. So this is our heritage. This is what Srila Prabhupada has given us. This is our family business. And we do it because Srila Prabhupada wanted it. When people get a book, you don't know what the result's going to be. They're getting Krishna in their hand, and how Krishna will act, you may not be able to see it all immediately. So it requires some love and dedication that even though I can't see the complete result of this activity, I'm doing it to please Krishna. But I have to tell them, please don't slow down your eating. I know that some of you are just looking and listening about eating. Actually, I think we'll have to end here because some of you are a little slow in your eating. So then the temple president says, well, let's get them to hurry up. Okay, everyone can finish up, and as soon as you do, we can have everyone go outside and pick up their books. I think that all of us in this room should make a vow that we won't come back today unless we do at least one book. If you can do 100 books, that's even better. But the idea is, let's all go out today and let's do the 20,000 books that we wanted to do for Srila Prabhupada. These are their goals, 20,000 books in one day. So now you understand when sometimes people say that, oh, they're doing so big and willing, to, who's controlling them? You know, I am big. Where are the 20,000 books in one day? What's their control? What's their control, you know? If you start doing 20,000 books a day, then we can start worrying about who's controlling. Any questions?
We're reading the Prabhupada's books, we should be expecting such a frame of mind that this knowledge that we hear, we should come up with some other
purpose. Yes! There's things in the purport that, you know, there's amazing insights into material nature and how we're victimized by the scam. Isn't it a horrible thing to be victimized by a scam? Many of you been scammed before? Yeah? Huh?
No one likes to admit it, so you don't even want to admit it.
It's horrible to be. Maybe you've gone overseas, maybe died, you were traveling somewhere in Spain, and someone cheated you out of your money or something. Yeah? What happened? Hippies, love and peace, flower power. So what did you have to do then? So what did you do then? You booked the wrath of God upon us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no one likes to be subjected to a scam. But that's what material existence is doing to us. So I'm trying to inspire you all to get the knowledge, get the tools to reclaim your life. It's not easy. Because we underestimate the strength of the enemy, and we also underestimate how much facility we have that Krishna is giving us for fighting and being victorious. So yes, you should not forget that the basic principle is to absorb these books daily and give them to others. And make your chanting of your japa the most important thing in your day. That is the secret. That's those are the occult powers going on around here. Any other questions? The process of yajna is given by the Supreme Lord for each age. So in the age of Kali, the Sankirtan process. Ah. Once giving in a lecture, Srila Prabhupada was talking about Valmiki Muni, who spent 60,000 years in meditation. Because that was the process for that yuga. And Srila Prabhupada said, you can exceed the benefit he got from 60,000 years of meditation in just 3 days of book distribution. So we really don't know what we're dealing with. We don't really understand the immense potency of the things we're doing. We don't understand the potency of the holy name, the Sankirtan, because we've been brutalized by the abusive potency of lust. We've been brutalized. We've been abused. So you have to get the tools in your hands to reclaim your life. So that's what's going on here. Camaraderie in fighting illusion. Camaraderie in reviving our love of Krishna. Any other questions? Pray to Krishna, and then you also try your best to help others. But you have to be a little humble. You may have to prepare first before you can help anybody. You may have to fix yourself up. To be selfish is a miserable life. I know some of us here have had selfish lives to some degree. Some of us here were very expert in arranging for ourselves. But you at least give that much attention to Krishna that you formerly gave, taking care of yourself. At least. Otherwise you're cheating. And don't be discouraged if there's some impediment in pleasing Krishna. When you try to do something in the material world and there's an impediment, you just keep on going. You try for a job, you don't get it, and you just keep trying. Why is it then we're serving Krishna? Little impediment in,
oh, let me give up.
Some of you who want to seriously try to do something for Krishna, you'll find that often obstacles can be just having to deal with others. Sometimes even your fellow devotees don't understand what you're doing. Because this is a hospital, and we're dealing with people of different levels of contamination. So sometimes one group of patients in the hospital doesn't understand what the other group of patients are doing. The purpose of the hospital is purification, but sometimes we lose sight of it.
Hey, what are these guys doing over there in that ward?
What are they doing there? They're getting purified. But it's just the way hospitals work. There's sometimes this commotion amongst the patients. They're getting better food than us. They get more time with the doctor than us. Or there should be no doctors. All patients should prescribe their own medicine.
Who do those patients think they are, being around that doctor all the time? So if you're going to do anything substantial, you've got to get used to that. Just like, for example, here in New Zealand, as well as Australia, everybody talks about the tall poppy syndrome, right? As soon as the poppy gets a little bit too high, looks like it's getting higher than the others, chop it down. That's the way the material world works. And because you're dealing with refugees from the material world who show up in Krishna consciousness, sometimes the same tendencies manifest to a small degree, so you have to tolerate. One nice example Srila Prabhupada gave was about you're riding on an airplane to get to a specific destination. And let's say, have you ever flown on an airplane and you don't really like the person seated next to you? Does that happen to anybody? Yeah. So what do you do? You know, they're trying to talk to you, and you don't want to talk to talking about. But they, you know, they keep taking the full armrest. You're in the cramp in the economy section, you know, and then some big person sits next to you and just wants to, you know. Because in the economy section, you know, you basically have to share half the armrest with the other person, you know. So basically you're arm to arm, you know. So that happens to you, you can understand. This person sitting next to you, you know, they're eating meat, they're just doing, you know, just talking about things you don't want to hear about. But what do you tell yourself? My goal is to get to the destination, so you tolerate what's going on because you want to get to the goal. Oh, it's just a short plane ride. It's only 12 hours. So you tolerate. Because you want to get to the destination. You're fixed in your purpose. So you tolerate the other things. And there are allurements, just like you're strapped into your seat on the airplane, you know, a flight attendant's always going, champagne, or red or white wine, or... Then you're strapped in your seat, you know, it's like the allurements of Maya are coming. Dinner time, would you like a roasted leg, or would you like omelets with olives, or probably the bombable food stuff, you know, the smells are there, the cart's right in the aisle next to you, you know, and the guy next to you, I'll have another beer, please. The real fun I have. It doesn't happen very often, but every once in a while, you know, they put some lady next to you, seated right next to you, and she wants to be a little friendly, so, you know, I just kind of, you know, use my ice weapon.
Oh, how are you doing? Oh, what religion do you belong to? Oh, tell me more.
Oh, I'd love to, but you see, I know I really have to. I have to study something before the plane lands. You don't mind, do you?
Oh, yes, okay.
Or you know, they're sitting next to you and they go through one of the. I forget what some of the ladies that had a term for it. They just go through one of their postures, you know. Carefully, you know, carefully, how should we say, I don't know how to describe the swelling their chest. Then finally, if it gets too much, then I just start, you know, chanting rather loudly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. So you just, you know, you have to tolerate. Because you know you're going to your destination. So similarly, in trying to serve Krishna, there are many things we have to tolerate while continuing to move forward. Any other questions? All right.